When it comes to flying your drone, trial and error is not a strategy. It's insanity. Insanity. So get your drone questions answered by the experts so you can save time and money by lowering your learning curve. And now your hosts, Rob Burdick and Paul Aitken.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob, and you're listening to episode number 266, and we thank you as always for being with us and spending a few minutes to get your day started.
Definitely. You know, we did something new and interesting today, Rob. What was that?
We periscoped.
Periscoped. That was pretty cool. Yeah, so did we move a telescope above our submarine today? Like, I don't know what this means.
I don't know what it means either.
Okay.
All I know is we were talking, just kind of shooting the bull, and there's a phone in my face.
There was a phone in our face. So we started something new today, and if you want to get more involved with the Ask Drone You show, you can check out our Twitter feed at The Drone You, where we are periscoping, which means, well, it means vertical video. It means cell phone video, but it means you get an opportunity to speak with us live right before we record the show. And this morning, we talked about what concert Rob is going to. Do you want to give him a hint?
A hint. It's in Vancouver, Canada.
Hello?
In July.
Hello? That's your
that's
tip.
Too much
that's
of
your
a hint.
Tip today. If you want to find out more, check out Twitter at thedroneyou.com. I promise you may get a little surprise as far as what Rob's taste in music is.
It's called being Renaissance, right?
Being a Renaissance. It's Renaissance.
Renaissance. Anyways, I'm excited. It's cool.
I think it's cool for
and
you. I'm
based
more
on the way those tickets sold. I think there's a lot of jealous people out there, actually.
There's so much involved in going to a concert. It's just, for me, it's got to be, like, overwhelmingly cool.
Yeah, and this is. So, anyways, if this gives you any indication of the popularity, so we bought our tickets, and we were very, very fortunate to get these tickets, right? So we busted our tails.
I can't.
I won't go through all the details of how we made it happen and et cetera. Unless someone really wants to know, then I'd be happy to tell them. But the bottom line is, the day we bought them, because it sold out in the particular locale that we got ours, in literally probably an hour.
So if you want to find out which concert Rob is talking about, you got to check out Twitter.
Well, just, last little thing.
Okay.
People were trying to sell the tickets they had just purchased for a couple $1,000s the same day.
That surprises me not.
The system is not going to let them do that.
I think the system is letting them do that. There was just a whole bit on this on the Today Show like 2 days ago about how there is some new government agency looking into how Ticketmaster and what is something live, I forget what it's called, are selling tickets because 90% of the tickets never get out to the public.
Exactly. And that was one of the issues that this particular person didn't like about the system. And so the way that this particular person set it up was that you had to show up with your ID and the credit card you bought the tickets with to get your tickets.
Wow.
So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see.
Well, beyond tickets, beyond Rob's fascination with interesting
really
individuals, find out more on Twitter at TheDroneU. We've got some good questions today, but there is some new current events that are going on right now, Rob. Did you see what happened in Congress yesterday that has everything to do with the little drones that we fly? Did you see it?
I saw that you sent it out. I have not read through it yet, but I bet you have. So fill us in.
All right. So Congress has a new bill on the floor as of yesterday. It is H.R. 4432. And what that does is represent a new model and an interim rule to clarify the FAA Modernization and Reform Act of 2012. And guess what? It's really funny because they are really kind of making this more common sense. I like what I see in this bill.
That's encouraging.
They're talking about the general requirements for commercialization of UAS would require liability insurance, registration, an exam, and then a certification upon once someone passes that exam. But here's the kicker, Rob. This is the first bill that we've seen with micro UAS operations and classification. The administrator, I shouldn't read that. Essentially what it says is that you would not need a certificate, you wouldn't need to pass a test, nothing. And you could fly drones up to 4.4 pounds, I believe that's 2 kilograms. It's like right where the Inspire is, literally right there. So Phantoms are definitely going to clear that.
Does that include full payload?
So they say the payload has to be included in that, but the question is your payload is your camera.
Right.
So, you know, are you weighing the bird without the battery in it? Because that's, I mean, think about it like this, Rob, right? When a plane gets weighed for its classification, it's not weighed with fuel in it. It's the weight of the aircraft. So would we have fuel in our drone when it's weighed? So anyway.
I would think that they would include the battery, but anyways.
Yeah. Well, we'll see, because that I think that would make it too heavy.
But one of the big points in my mind is that there's no PPL.
That is definitely right? a big thing, yes. But they're saying that, you know, they're saying the difference between micro UAS and commercial UAS operations is that, and these are both commercial, I'm just trying to distinguish the two. If micro UAS, you would have to always fly 5 miles, statute miles, away from the geographic center of an airport as denoted in the aeronautical chart. There are micro UAS exemptions. Man, this is something that's really cool to see, though, because we're seeing really common sense legislation coming into play here and really giving people an opportunity to allow a lot of people to fly. I mean, really open up the airways.
Which is great. And so who's behind this bill?
Ooh, I don't know.
Because this person's committee or whatever needs to be commended, it sounds like, for getting things off on a good start here.
Well, you know, the FAA, okay, it was Mr. Blumenauer, Blumenauer.
Blumenauer, okay.
I've never heard of that person before.
So, congressman.
Yeah, oh, clearly. Because this is in the House of Representatives,
okay.
So. Okay. Yeah, it has to be. But this is an interim rule for the operation of small unmanned aircraft for commercial purposes.
So, okay, what is our call to action for people with regards to this? To go read it?
I definitely go read it. We're going to put a link in the podcast notes, which is on Podomatic. If you are listening on iTunes or Stitcher, if you go to Podomatic and search Ask Drone U, the links should be there. The links should show up in the description. I'm just not 100% sure. I don't handle that. That being said, check this out, read it, spread the news, call your congressman, tell them that you like this bill or don't like this bill for whatever reason. Personally, I like this because it kicks the FAA in the butt and says, all right, enough with this 107, enough with this 333, let's just nix it all and do this. And I love that because we all know the FAA has missed numerous deadlines.
Right.
And they are very protectionist, and I think that this would kind of allow for freedom of the skies, and it would also allow for an opportunity for people to get educated, which is really what we need, you know?
It is, yep.
So now, one thing is, if the NPRM 107 or this new micro UAS rule comes out, or this bill comes out, you know, Drone U is definitely going to be one of those places where you can take that test. We'll become the CATS center, as it's called.
Right. One of the things we still don't know is how this will impact people with 333s, right?
Well, remember, 333s have an expiration date. So, and that's been a legal issue in itself from what John has told me. So they're like, where do they get the expiration dates from? How is it calculated? Why are expiration dates on this? If it's an exemption, like blah, blah, blah. So there are a lot of questions to that, but
there are, but that's good news. It's encouraging to see that something like that's out.
It is encouraging.
It's a starting point.
The AIR Act, though, that we were talking about just the other day, it is not as encouraging. So that's why I wanted to mention this other bill that had just come out yesterday, and I really hope something happens with it because I think a lot of people are losing faith in the goodness and fairness of the U.S. FAA. It's like, guys, we don't have time anymore to play around. There are many people who are growing increasingly rebellious. And I don't think that's good for the FAA. I don't think it's good for the community as a whole.
No, that's true.
And I don't think it's good for society because that attitude, and it's funny because even when you go and get your PPL, your LSA, your sport license, you know, they talk about, you know, how in aviation, having that attitude is not, it's bad for everyone because you get yourself in trouble, you forget things, the human mind is fallible is what they say. This is actually one of the questions that's on the exam, the written test from the FAA. And they talk about how, you know, you should, it's called the aeronautical decision-making process. And it's like understanding that you have a negative thought and changing that negative thought and like reversing your mind. Like they have a whole section on that. Yeah.
That's the psychology section?
Yeah. I don't know what section it is. Aeronautical decision making is pretty much, I think, that section. But there are tests on every pilot's license about that. And really what it comes down to is if you've got a bad attitude and you don't want to follow direction, it could cause yourself harm. Yeah, that's true depending on the type of mind or the person that it is. It's not true for everyone. That would be like generalizing. But I definitely think that people who are not adhering to guidelines or are just testing boundaries by flying over people, flying near people, crashing, and that's not going to help everyone else.
No, it's not. And that's when people get hurt. I mean, it makes me think of somebody who skis, and there are a lot of ski areas. Well, they all have boundaries, right? It seems like every time you hear about somebody that got in trouble, meaning they got stuck, they got hit by an avalanche, whatever, it's the people that went across the boundary.
Yep.
So don't be that person in the drone world.
Yeah. Know the thin red line.
Absolutely.
And don't cross it.
And one other point, Paul, is if you're somebody who's really getting fed up and feeling like this is never going to happen and you're ready to give up.
Yeah.
Don't be that guy either, because there are people that are giving up. But if you hang in there, this will get done.
Yep.
Eventually, and if you can hang in there, do, because you're going to be one of those left to go get that piece of the pie that you need.
Definitely. And you know, talking about people who aren't giving up, the AMA just sent out an email yesterday saying that hey, we went and met with 37 different congressional members discussing UAS and whatnot, and maybe this bill is a result of that. So I want to give the AMA the benefit of the doubt that maybe they're making some progress. Man, when they release that information, though, you should read the comments on their blog. Wow. Wow, are they negative.
People.
Oh, yeah. Some people are like, well, it's a little late, AMA. You already got bent over backwards a few times. Like, what gives us the idea that you're actually going to fight for our rights? And people are like, canceled my membership long time ago. Like, there's some very negative sentiment out there. And I understand why, because guys who have been flying their model airplanes, perfect example here in Albuquerque, guys who have been flying their model airplanes for years without issue ever are now getting signs put up and pictures taken of them while they're flying at parks that were once AMA parks.
Right.
And the city just decided, oh, no, well, can't fly here. And I mean, the real thing, the benefit of this is, you know, who's going to enforce that? Because there are a lot of cops that fly drones. There are a lot of cops that fly model airplanes that are into aviation. So Parks and Rec has to have someone to enforce it, and we haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, we'll see about that. But I do want to ask people to stay positive. And yes, maybe the AMA didn't step up in the way that we would have liked to have seen them step up with regards to registration. But I don't know that I'm ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I mean, they've done a lot of good things over the past however many years they've been around, right? So I don't know that we need to throw in the towel and just kick them to the curb yet. We can disagree with them and let them know that we're not happy.
I think people just want to see more. And maybe what the AMA needs is just to be more engaging with their community. Maybe the AMA...
Yeah, I don't know how engaging they are, so...
Yeah, well, I don't know. But maybe it's time we bring Rich Hansen back on and ask him about this.
Yeah.
Because
well, let him respond to those people that are feeling that way, because I'm sure, you know, they don't like that.
I feel like we could have a really beneficial show if we do, like, the, you know, the celebrities read the negative tweets about them. We get Rich Hansen on here to read the negative
comments.
There you
comments. Go. Yeah, well, might be fun. I don't know if he'd be up for that. Maybe he would. We'll see what kind of sense of humor he has.
I highly doubt that
they would be
down for that. Yes.
We actually do have a question today.
Oh. Oh, that's right. We have to actually get to that.
And I think it kind of fits into what we're talking about, actually.
Couldn't agree more.
So why don't we just hop in rather than set this particular question up? We kind of sort of have with this discussion. So let's just play it.
So for the guys on Reddit who are like, "Ah, these guys never get to the point," understand that the things that we talk about all kind of mesh together. So anyway.
That's our intent, and also it's to have fun, and, you know.
We love to fly.
Can't make everybody happy.
We understand this is about fun. A lot of people lose sight of that, so anyway.
Absolutely. All right, here we go.
Yes, this morning I was reading the front page of the Boston Globe, and there's a big, large article about drones being sighted near airports, and they mentioned that a 20-foot drone was sighted on two different occasions and nearly hit an airplane. My question to you is, who makes a 20-foot drone? Boeing? I don't understand this misinformation that is all over the media. What can we do about this?
That is a good question.
It is, and really quick to clarify, when he says this morning, this is a question that was sent in a while back, so it's not this morning as in February 4th.
But it's still a very relevant issue because there are media reports all the time discussing close sightings and close calls with drones and airplanes, with drones and helicopters all over the country. But recently, the AMA actually did something that was very useful to us drone operators. They investigated all of these 700 quote-unquote reports, Rob, of near misses, and what they found was actually striking.
It was striking, and I'll say they put a lot of work into this. This is quite a report. It's pretty involved.
And it's funny because as we read this report, the AMA did a full report on this. It's called The Closer Look at FAA Drone Data. And essentially, if you could scroll back down there for me, Rob, what it says is, at the same time, the AMA's analysis of the FAA data shows that a number of close calls or near misses is substantially lower than the headlines would suggest. So what's in the data? A closer look reveals a hodgepodge of reports. And some of the key takeaways are...
Well, we've got various ones here, but let's see. Not every single sighting or report was a close call. Many were just that, sightings, and so... Rather than being stated as being a sighting, they were stated as being a close call, so a little bit misleading there.
Well, you know, and they talk about that in the congressional hearing, that, like, there is no actual definition of what is a near miss or a close call.
Right.
And it says, you know, only a small fraction was legitimately reported as near misses or near mid-air collisions.
I think that second point is really interesting and something that just doesn't get talked about because it's not inflammatory enough for the media.
Yes, that is actually very interesting. Some of the most serious incidents in the FAA data, including two actual crashes, involve government-authorized military drones, not civilian drones. So the FAA is using this information against civilian drone operators, even though it's military drones. That's interesting. Little quick tidbit of trivia. What's the number one state in the union with the most drone crashes, Rob?
The most drone crashes in the state.
No, the most drone crashes in the country. Which state?
In the country, I'm sorry. You're right. I have no idea. Let's say California.
New Mexico.
No way.
Yep, look it up.
Most of it because of government stuff?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. The third point on this report, it's not just uninformed consumers causing problems. The records include several reports of authorized or unauthorized public entities and commercial operators flying. Given widespread interest in commercial applications, unidentified operators cannot be presumed to be hobbyists. That's interesting.
It is, and it's unfortunate we're having to combat these assumptions that are being made.
What's even more interesting here is this next point where they say some of the sightings in the reports appear to involve people flying responsibly within the FAA's current recreational guidelines.
Right. And again, so those might be sightings. They are sightings. They say that they're sightings, but they've done nothing wrong, yet they're reported as something negative.
Exactly. This is all just goes to go in this whole propaganda machine of the FAA, which is so clear to people, and I think it dilutes their credibility and authority, like I was saying before, and I don't think it's helping them in the end. And I'm not trying to be just anti-FAA. I'm trying to say, you know, guys, you really need to think about your long-term strategy because it's not working.
Well, and I love this next point. This is really important because we see other things in the air, be it a balloon, what else could we see? Birds,
rockets.
Model rockets, mini blimps we've got listed here. And they're reported as...
Drone sightings.
Drone sightings. which makes sense because that's when somebody sees something in the air that's unidentifiable, given all of the press, their immediate thought goes to, it's a drone.
One of the actual lines, Rob, on these reports was that a pilot in Minnesota reported seeing something that was later reported as a drone and resembled a dog.
I don't even know what to say to that.
Dude needs his vision checked severely. Which actually is funny because talking about registration, there was another article that came out that 342,000 of the registered airplanes had errors or were not still flying.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting.
This actually makes me think of, you know how you sit when there's clouds in the sky?
Yeah.
Maybe lay down on the ground and you look up at the sky and you see what shapes you can call out of the clouds.
Uh-huh.
That's probably what this guy was doing. He saw.
He's flying. He's like, look at that dog over there. Oh, man.
Anywho.
It looks like a crying puppy.
So the question then becomes, what do we do about this? What, as drone enthusiasts, how can we help sort of clear the air and make things right?
How can we clear the air and make these things right? Well, I think it's really important to discuss these points that we're talking about in the public forum, because the only way that we can fight misinformation is with correct information. You know, evil only persists when good men say nothing, so we really have to make our voices heard. And, you know, there are a couple other points in here that talks about a lot of these sightings occurred around stadiums, wildflowers, power plants, and other critical infrastructure, and they raise different concerns from pilot sightings. But despite the FAA's stated desire to find and punish rogue operators, in almost 20% of reports, 142 reports to be exact, local law enforcement either wasn't notified or it was unknown whether local law enforcement was notified at all. And I find that interesting because there's a big disconnect from what the FAA says is bad and what they're actually going after. But I think more importantly, it goes to show their lack of resources. And I think that is really important to make the point of, you know, you asked the question, what can we do? If the FAA has a lack of resources, it would be a direct correlation to why they would be saying the things that they're saying in the media. It'd be a direct correlation to why, instead of going after multiple operators for small amounts of money, saying like if they were to go after commercial operators for, you know, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, instead of doing that, they focused all of their attention at Skypan, $1.9 million, which is even more interesting in the fact that Skypan sued the FAA before the FAA sued Skypan.
Right.
Another point that correlates very importantly to the lack of resources and what the FAA is trying to do is, there is already a system for registration. Why wasn't that system used for drone or UAS registration? I think it's two points. Number one, that old registration system is antiquated, can't handle the number of drones that are currently in the airspace, and would simply overrun the Office of Registration because of personnel and, again, resources. So they create this online system, and they create a way that they can better not only find you if you make a mistake, but also persecute you because you're making a personal contract with the FAA saying, I will follow these rules even though they have no legal binding authority, because they're just guidelines at this point.
Right.
Which is another interesting point. So if the FAA is truly low on resources, then the propaganda makes sense. If the FAA is truly low on resources, then the registration, the web registration, makes sense. It also makes sense as to why they've missed so many deadlines.
I feel like we should have an X-Files music right here.
So what should we be doing then, Rob? Is showcasing the lack of resources. Showcasing the holes.
What does that mean? How do we showcase?
Let me finish. Showcasing the lack of resources. Showcasing the holes in the evidence that they persist, that they put out in the public perception, like these close calls. Anytime there's an article that comes out on a close call, you post the link to this. Let's talk about close calls. Let's talk about how this is actually defined as a close call. There is no definition for a close call, just like there's no definition for close-set movie filming with UAS and drones. So that being said, if people can comment on these articles, if they can educate other people, social media is our tool. It is the tool of the people. Utilizing social media, we can use this information. We can make articles. We can post blogs. We can post on our blogs, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and mention these specific things. The thing is, Rob, if we do our research, 9 times out of 10, you're going to find that there are many, if not dozens, of holes in arguments that are made by the FAA. So.
Sure. So, okay. So what you're saying is that we educate ourselves, we arm ourselves with the correct information.
Yes.
That's been researched and verified.
And spread it.
And then spread it. And there are a multitude of ways to spread that. But one of those ways is you go into these articles and all these articles have comments. Or you're in Facebook and you see an article that somebody posts. Even if that person is agreeing with that post, you respectfully say, well, no, I don't think you've thought about this or you've missed this. I think a point for me is that we've got to be respectful about this and sound articulate and educated and like we know what we're talking about.
Well, and you know, if you're online and you just start getting emotional and angry, what purpose is that going to solve? It's just like...
It feeds the fire, frankly.
Yeah, and it's just like I said before, you know, my dad told me a long time ago, in the court of law, as soon as you show emotion, as soon as you raise your voice, you've already lost the case.
Right.
The same thing goes for social media. You know, if you want people to respect your opinion, be nice about it. Be thoughtful and be thorough.
And the other thing I think we can do, if you want to take it to the next level, you can do what our friend Vic Moss does, and that is get people together, like-minded people, and start going and talking to the people that are making these decisions, probably in your state, although you might be able to get in front of your representative at a national level as well. But start going to the people in your state legislatures and talking to them about the reality of drones and all the positive things, the education that's available, and help them understand, you know, what the good side of this is.
Comes back down to communication, Rob. Couldn't agree more. Another example, too, is, you know, the bill that just came out today. If you like that bill, call your congressman. Write them an email and say, hey, look, this bill just came out. I need you to vote on this. I need you to represent our people. This is why this is good for society. This is why this is good for businesses. This is why this is good for economic growth. But the more important part, and this is something I learned from Dave, because Dave has been in the upper echelon of society.
Dave, part of the Bald Bureau, wondering.
Yes, he's number three, or number one, depending on how you look at him.
He's number one.
That being said, he's told me one thing that has worked every time I've met with a politician. How is this bill going to affect their ability to be reelected, or how is it going to affect that direct politician, or... What is the name for the group of people that follow that?
Constituents.
So, or how is it going to affect the congressman or woman and their constituents? Because if they can understand and perceive how it's going to affect their ability to get voted back into office or their public perception, that's what they care about. And I hate to say that because it's disgusting in my eyes, but it's true.
And we hate to use a broad brush, and so I think we should be careful about that. But... if we are helping them help their constituents, that is going to benefit them. And there's nothing wrong with that perspective.
Yes, I agree. It's the personal development part that gets me. I'm a man of principle. I will get defended.
Again, we're anti-broad brush here at Drone U, so... Anywho, I hope that helps our caller answer the question or answers his question and gives him a little bit of direction in terms of how to go about doing this. My hunch is that intuitively he knows. I mean, I think people that are listening to us, listening to others, reading these articles, you kind of have a sense of what you need to do, and that's just speak up respectfully and in an educated manner.
Definitely. I think you guys need to be a voice. You need to be a voice of reason. As the only way that we can advance. I mean, and it's funny, too, because a lot of people are like, well, I don't know if other people think what I'm thinking. I think you'd be surprised at the thought process of your fellow Americans.
Yeah.
America.
Absolutely.
Anyway, guys, that's going to do it for us today. If you have a question, be sure to go to AskDroneU.com, upload that question. We love the questions, especially the business stuff, whether it's FPV, business, legal. We've got the people to answer it, because at DroneU, we teach from experience, not from theory. We're not just a bunch of guys that are trying to hit a gold rush. We actually care about what's going on. That being said, Rob, we've got a lot going on in the next month. We're filming 4 courses this next month.
You're going to get those darn things done, Paul.
So which courses are we filming?
Well, we've got what do you just tease? You want to give all 4? What do you think? So here's my thing. I hate to overpromise.
Well, they're
getting
filmed.
You know that about me.
Yeah, they're getting filmed. When they come out, whatever their delivery is, I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying they're getting filmed.
Well, that's what people care about.
They're being worked on substantially.
Anyways, I think one of the best ones, and we'll just throw this one out, is the real estate video.
Real estate videography. Aerial real estate videography, which is funny because that price point has come down so much. So really to be profitable in that, you've got to have a system and a routine and know how to deal with realtors on the most minute level. And that really means being a person of influence. So we go over all those different points. We go over the system, how to film it, how to deliver it, how to edit it, how to have a system. If you don't edit video, great. We're going to show you how to get in touch with editors. In fact, we're going to have a whole system with that. So very excited about that. I'm more excited about the advanced aerial videography and cinematography because there's so many videos out on the internet that are just so bad. They're so bad, Rob. They're like, here's the top 10 cinematic movements I do with my drone. I'm like, that's cute for your like neighborhood video, but if you're trying to get serious work, like you're going to get laughed at. So well, I'm excited to put useful information out there that has worked for me in the film industry and has advanced me in the film industry, and I hope to advance other people as well.
Absolutely.
So I don't mean to bash other people. I just think that in a world of internet, there's a lot of subjective material out there.
There is definitely that. That's true.
Anyway.
But we're going to help people be the best they can. Let's just put
it that way.
That
is what it's all about, Rob.
That's right.
Don't get all sad on me. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening in. We greatly appreciate it. If you know someone who's new and getting into drones, tell them to check out the Ask Drone You podcast or tell them to check out the Don't Crash course. Don't Crash course is 90 minutes of everything that you need to know to fly safe and not crash. Lower that learning curve and fly like a pro. Fly confidently and know what to say if people approach you and say, your camera's staring at me.
Don'tCrashCourse.com.
That's right. Anyway, guys, we always appreciate the support and we always appreciate the reviews, the listens.
Please, yes.
And we love the subscribers. We've got something new coming out next week, which is really going to blow your socks off. So stay tuned. We're super excited about it. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob.
This is Ask Drone You.
Thanks for listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. Be sure to tune in next time to your personal experts for answering your drone questions, Rob Burdick and Paul Aiken, so you can keep lowering your learning curve and save time and money.